Will we ever know who hacked Sony's computers? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Before Sony's computers markets, the day after the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve issued a statement that would get demerits for vagueness from any freshman English professor, markets have been cheered in the first half hour of trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up nearly 250 points, and the S&P 500 was up 1.3%. On Thursdays, we consult Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So we're all waiting for the Fed statement to come out yesterday. Our central banker is giving us some guidance about interest rates. Would or would they not use the phrase considerable time? Well, the statement comes out. It's got considerable time in it, but the key word seems to be patient. That's the new key word, right?
Well, they said they're going to be patient on raising interest rates and that this is the same thing. They actually said it's considerable time, but we swapped them out. It was kind of a bait and switch, and it really was, let's sort of let people know that even as the economic ground firms, we really are going to be treading as if we're walking on thin ice because we're not quite sure what's underneath the ground that we're walking, even though it might be firming.
Well, let's think about that. It's almost as if the Fed were sitting in a room wrapping its Christmas gifts, and it's thinking, all right, let's give one to the stock market and other people with assets like that, and let's wrap up this package that's full of vague words. That'll cheer them up.
Not only will it cheer them up, but also it does highlight, you know, we had three dissents yesterday. It was kind of like a family party at the holidays where you've got all the dysfunction in one room at once and you need to satisfy everyone. So you just go to say, happy holidays. And that's it.
I've been to family functions like that. Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We could see more information from the U.S. government as early as today about who hacked the computers of Sony Pictures, leading to the mass release of internal company emails. And now the cancellation of the release of the movie at the center of this. That movie, titled The Interview, is a comedy about a plot against North Korea's leader. In the last 24 hours, an unnamed U.S. official has been suggesting the hack may have started in North Korea. Stephen Cobb is senior security researcher at ESET in San Diego. Mr. Cobb, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
What do we know about the origins of this Sony Pictures hack now? The signs are pointing, the indications are North Korea somehow.
Those of us in the antivirus research community are very loath to do any attribution we can't truly confirm. And yes, there are similarities to attacks which have North Korean sympathies on them. But, you know, I haven't seen any evidence yet that directly attributes this to a specific person or entity in any specific country. At this point, I think it still could be coming from anywhere.
You can imagine the rest of the movie industry. You can imagine the rest of corporate America. You can imagine anybody with a computer, with a hard drive, with sensitive information on it, wondering, is there any way to stop these folks? The answer starting to seem like no.
You know, if you're going to make a movie mocking the revered leader of a nuclear nation, you're first going to check that your cybersecurity is top-notch. We do not, in terms of the technology required, have the ability to repel every attack every time. And it's the World Wide Web. It's not the American Web where we can say and do what we want according to our values. It lives in a world of mixed values. And that's just a reality we have to live with.
Stephen Cobb, senior security researcher at ESET. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. When you think of negotiating for higher pay, the people who work hard picking apples and cherries are not the first folks who come to mind with the clout to drive up compensation. But in Washington's Yakima Valley, growers and workers alike say the growing use of mobile phones has shaken up the labor market. As Northwest Public Radio's Rowan Moore Garrity reports, it's spurring competition for competent piscadores.
Eduardo Cruz says there's a big range in what you get paid to pick apples.
This year, I picked Honeycrisp for $42 a bin. At other farms, they paid $35 a bin, or $30.
Farm workers have always gotten together to trade tips. Still, they often had to drive out to far-flung orchards to find out who was hiring and what they were paying. Nowadays, most of these conversations take place via cell phone.
I've got a lot of friends, and we talk.
You ask a few questions about the job, get the foreman's number, and if it seems promising, make the trip out to the orchard. Cell phones have reduced the transaction costs of looking for farm work. And that's made the workforce more willing to move around, says grower Charlie de la Chapelle.
And that's a good thing, because if, in fact, we are short of people and we have a good price, they call their buddies and they bring them.
Here's the flip side.
You don't know who's going to show up tomorrow.
On Chappelle's farm, workers picking Fujis have to sort the fruit as they go, which can hurt their pay. Orchard manager Art Thompson is worried his crew might start looking elsewhere.
We got a pretty steady crew, but believe me, if I let them keep making this wage all day, the cell phones will start being picked up.
So employers have to be ready to adjust wages. It's basic economics. Free-flowing information leads to a freer market. Researchers have made similar observations about cell phones across the developing world. Agricultural economist Philip Martin recalls one study of fishermen in southern India.
If you're out in your little boat and you've got a bunch of fish, you have more power to know which port to take them to by calling the various fish brokers and saying, what are you paying?
And for low-wage workers without much clout, cell phones have brought a bit of leverage. In Yakima, I'm Rowan Moore Garrity for Marketplace.
And in October, in front of several hundred people, my Marketplace colleague Kai Ryssdal bet me $20 that interest rates won't go up next year. He might be right, but just saying. A Reuters poll today says most Wall Street economists still think interest rates will go up sometime in 2015. Kai will point out that I had bet that rates will go up by this spring, which does seem increasingly unlikely, but we'll see. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.